38. Ramiel. The inhabitants of Hell are not the most welcoming neighbors, but a smart librarian will never be adrift for resources. Remember the other libraries, other realms, other paths. Build good fences, make good friends, and keep your laundry indoors. Leave just enough doubt in their minds to make yourself not worth the trouble. Librarian Gregor Henry, 1982 CE. Hell was a series of hallways. It was monotonous and maddening, and Rami still couldn't believe it. The door had been open. The old paths into Hell, paths Rami hadn't walked since he'd abandoned Lucifer's upstart rebellion so long ago, had still been open. The way between worlds had still risen to appear when Rami willed it. No tricks, no force, no begging needed. It was as if Hell had been waiting for him. In the eons, ages, millennia since then, Lucifer hadn't shut him out. Uriel's mad plan had turned out to be right. For some reason, even as a watcher presumably working for heaven, Rami was welcome in Hell. The prospect and the possible reasons why disturbed him deeply. Leto, however, experienced no such concerns. The boy brightened up considerably once they'd reached these interminable hallways. He behaved as if he wanted nothing more than to hug each pillar they passed. Thankfully, he kept his arms at his sides and carefully walked in the center of the hall, per their agreement. Leto was a purified soul, and if he could stay that way, he could still pass the gates. But souls were grasping things. The slightest encounter with the wrong influence here could corrupt and damn him all over again. Just walking the grounds was dangerous enough, and Rami had insisted that the boy stay two steps behind him when trouble presented itself, and touch nothing besides the floor beneath his feet. He allowed Leto to take the lead once they passed the trials of the anguished in the outer ring and approached the library. The boy appeared to have blossomed rather than being drained from his trials. He glowed. His ears stayed rounded and his skin stayed youthful and warm. He toyed with his messy coils of hair absently. How had it been possible that Rami had ever mistaken him for a demon? Leto hummed a tuneless pop song under his breath as he guided Rami past hallways drenched in the sunsets of alien stars, down grand staircases falling into disrepair, through ballrooms that still contained the last strains of music. They encountered no one, which just set Rami more on edge. It was very quiet for an invasion. Either they were quite late and the battle was done, or the opposition had been so weak as not to warrant a defense. Neither possibility boded well for the library. It left Rami considering what he would do should they even reach the doors. He was so busy chasing these thoughts around his head, he nearly ran into Leto. The teenager was frowning at a large alcove. A low, empty platform grounded the otherwise empty space, and it was this platform that seemed to concern him.
"The gargoyle should be here," Leto said.
"A gargoyle?"
"Well, a headache in the form of a gargoyle. I really should have asked its name."
Leto trailed off as he looked down the hallway.
"Oh, there he is."
The teenager took off toward a large form that stood frozen at the far end of the hall. A chill of alarm shot up Rami's back, and his hand drifted to his sword as he ran.
"Leto, stop!"
He caught up with Leto as he stumbled to a stop near the unmoving form. It was a statue of dull, jagged stone, and with a great head and wings that brushed the hallway's tall ceiling. It appeared to be caught in mid-attack, arms and wings extended, muscles bunched. It didn't move, but still seemed to shift and twitch, never quite fully in focus. When Rami cautiously circled the statue to inspect its face, a disorienting pulse of pain bloomed in his head. Rami looked away with a wince.
"This is your gargoyle?"
"Yes, but when I knew him, he moved around more."
Leto's brow furrowed in concern. He reached his fingers out toward one frozen wing before catching himself.
"So
Something's wrong with him.
Perhaps he's best left as he is.
Leto shoved his hands in his pockets and paced around, then back up as if to get a better view. On his third step backward, the air crackled a warning. Rami's shout was too slow. Violet light filled the hall and shot at Leto's back. The next moment, the teenager flew across the marble floor, and the light briefly coalesced into a wall before fading away. Leto crumpled against a wall. Rami felt relief when he let out a breathy groan as he reached him.
Are you all right?
For the record, I did not touch anything. I swear.
Leto accepted help sitting upright, and he rubbed his shoulder with a wince.
What was that?
A ward.
Rami stood and approached the space where the wall had formed.
That's good, right? That means Andrus and the other bad guys haven't gotten in yet.
No.
Rami inspected the air. He brought out his sword and held it just over the space. Black and violet light arced between his blade and the ward, though it didn't shock again. He sighed and put his blade away.
This is a temporary ward. Strong but hastily formed. Not tied to anything. It isn't anchored to the library.
Leto's face fell as he looked down the hall. Beyond the invisible ward, they could see the great double doors that Rami assumed led to the library. Muffled shouts and thuds could just barely be heard, but a full-scale resistance, a successful resistance, should have been much louder, producing sounds of fighting that could be heard even at this distance. Rami worried what they would find. They could be merely walking into an enemy encampment.
So how do we get past it? Leto asked.
We can't.
Rami stepped back to inspect the lines of power that were just visible now, crisscrossed through the air.
I said it was hasty, not that it was weak. Whoever constructed it has got something powerful feeding it, supplying energy. We would need something even stronger to disrupt it, even for a moment. We would need nothing short of a miracle to bring it down.
I might be able to manage that, a voice came from down the hall. But you're not setting foot in my library.
Rami's sword came to his hand as he pivoted, low in front of Leto to shield the human soul from whatever was coming. But down the hall was a familiar figure. Claire was in a filthy state, braids wild and skirts torn, brown skin dusted with grit and something redder, but her glare was as fierce as ever.
Peace, librarian.
Rami lowered his sword.
Oh no, no peace.
Claire spit out the words over what sounded like an increasing mass of birds in the distance.
I told you I would make you pay for—
Claire?
Leto poked his head around Rami's shoulder. Rami watched the fury fall from her face, replaced with shock. Leto stepped out from behind Rami, and the librarian's eyes broke with a kind of hopeful light. The words that fell from her lips were so vulnerable, they pulled in his chest.
Leto, that can't... You're here, oh God.
And then she was running toward them. Rami realized she was hobbling, favoring one knee with a twitch of pain on her face every time she stepped. Her skirts were stiff with blood, and she wore multiple amulets slung around her neck and bound around her wrists. She was also barefoot, which struck him as perhaps the most odd. Rami remembered himself and took two steps to lift a broad arm to bar the librarian's path. Claire skidded to a stop, and the murderous look was quick to return as she snarled at him.
Get out of my way, or I'll remove your arm for you. I have a bauble for just that.
Apologies. You can't, librarian. Do you notice anything different about our young friend?
Leto held still with a sheepish blush for the inspection. Claire's brow furrowed.
He looks fine, more than fine. He's whole. He's here. He's...
She stopped.
He's human. Not a demon. Oh, Leto, you're human.
He is. And his soul is bound for heaven as long as nothing here corrupts him. Nothing touches him.
including me. Bitterness and fresh loss flickered across Claire's face and then were gone. Did you remember then?
I remembered.
Leto flushed with embarrassment, voice a little shy.
I was Matthew. Matthew Hadley.
The smile froze, half formed across Claire's face. Her voice dropped to a strangled whisper.
Hadley?
Yeah, Leto rubbed his arm. But please, I'm still Leto. A complicated pain struggled across Claire's face, and it took Rami a moment to put it together. He'd read the brief on the librarian before all this started. Claire Juniper Hadley. Born 1944, Surrey, England. Married in London 1965. Died 1986. Survived by a husband and one daughter. A daughter who hadn't married, but had moved to America to raise a child of her own. Rami risked a glance between the two. The wiry coiled hair, the dark eyes, the stubborn jut of the chin. Claire was a darker brown, Leto's eyes more amber, but it was there, yes. If you squinted and allowed for two generations of genetic muddling, which humans were good at. But the way Claire was looking at Leto, like a mirage in the desert, made Rami's heart clench in sympathy. He knew what it meant to see the familiarity of a home you thought you'd lost. And he knew what it was for that home to be just out of reach, which made what he said even harder.
Leto has been through quite a lot of shock today. His soul is fragile, Rami murmured to Claire.
With considerable effort, she shook herself, and only Rami noticed the mist trembling at the corners of her eyes. She dropped her gaze to her feet a moment before drawing a hard breath.
Right, right. It just explodes.
Never mind. She looked to Rami.
You saved him.
Rami inclined his chin. Rather than expressing gratitude, Claire nodded, jaw clenching into a hard line.
Nothing is going to lay a hand on him. Are you okay?
Leto approached as Rami dropped his arm, but they kept a wide gap between them that spoke much.
You look... It's been a rough day since you left.
Claire's lips twitched.
Turns out I'm shit without my assistance. The blood? Not mine.
The knee?
Mine,
Claire said with a wince. But it's fine now that I'm back in hell. Phantom pain. Leto and Claire looked at each other, and it seemed to Rami that Leto had to read the tension welling in the space between. Finally, Leto coughed and pointed.
Something's wrong with the gargoyle, I think.
Right.
Claire embraced the diversion. She approached the gargoyle and ran a motherly hand over one flank as she murmured,
Oh, my friend, what did those bullies do to you?
It was the first opportunity that Rami had to watch her work. Claire circled the giant stone statue once. She stopped and ran a hand up and down one shoulder, as if working her fingers along a seam. Then she nodded to herself and began sorting through the beads bound to her wrist. When she found what she was looking for, she hauled herself up one side of the creature, bare feet braced on the gargoyle's haunch, and twisted a large colorless bauble and wrapped it along the stone. On the third wrap, the creature shuddered to life. Rami and Leto had to dodge as the gargoyle's wings swept around. The creature released an infuriated howl that had been caught in its throat, and its dimensional flickering increased. Claire had to hang on to the curve of its shoulder to keep from being displaced.
Easy, old friend.
The gargoyle seemed to calm with a few more murmured words from the librarian, though Rami could not look directly at its face to see what specific effect they had. After a moment, it crouched to gently allow Claire to clamber off. She patted its haunch and straightened her muddled skirts. Rami eyed the collection of jewels that hung around Claire's neck. When he looked at them just so, the air filled with whispers.
Are those what I think they are?
Claire turned to him with a sour smile. I made a supply run before coming here. Picked up a couple things, made a few friends. The Arcane Wing is shockingly unattended right now.
Are they strong enough to bring down the ward, then?
She shook her head. Not nearly powerful enough.
Claire reached into one skirt pocket and withdrew her hand, closed over something. A cruel smile twisted at her lips, a smile that suddenly spoke less of heartache and more of dark, vengeful things. But this is.
She opened her fingers, and a crumpled scrap of paper pillowed by cloth drifted on her palm. A familiar scrap of paper. A scrap of paper that glimmered with dark green script and whispered of destruction and had started this whole mess.
Rami's eyes widened, and so did Claire's wicked smile. I'd hoped to save it for Andras's traitorous face, but this will have to do.
The sound of beating wings and dark tidings rushed closer, and a gust of air stirred them from around the corner. Claire canted her head up, a gleam in her eye. Will you join us, Watcher?
39. Brevity.
Stories can die. Of course they can. Ask any author who's had an idea wither in their head, fail to thrive and bear fruit, or a book that spoke to you as a child but upon revisiting it was silent and empty. Stories can die from neglect, from abuse, from rot. Even war, as Shakespeare warned, can turn books to graves. We seek to preserve the books, of course, but we forget the flip side of that duty. Treasure what we have. Honor the stories that speak to you, that give you something you need to keep going. Cherish stories while they are here. There's a reason the unwritten live on something as fragile as paper. Librarian Gregor Henry, 1974 CE. A character's colors fade when its book is destroyed. Brevity stared at Aurora's unmoving face, her heart a fist in her chest. If you were human, and if you closed those eyes, she might just be napping. Sleeping anywhere, balanced on books, on the couch in the suite, as she was prone to do. If you did not look down and see the jagged holes that had been carved through her thin cotton jumpsuit and the tiny chest beneath. If you did not see the flurry of shredded, ink-stained paper that littered the character's body. If you were not a muse who could see the absence of light where color should have bloomed. Brevity knelt and picked up a scrap of paper that eddied by, rubbing her thumb over it. She tried to catch her breath, to hold on to the idea of how they'd gotten here. The fall had been so fast. Not all the damsels had chosen to fight. Some had retreated into their books, but enough had decided to stay that Brevity and Hero felt they could mount a proper defense. Hero had a mind for fighting dirty, and Brevity had been surprised at his fierce, determined plan. He'd moved swiftly between damsels, helping one locate books on swordsmanship and combat, before moving on to the next one.
Why in damnation aren't there any unwritten guns in this place? Or unwritten grenades, flamethrowers,
Hero had complained early on.
First of all, fire, library, no. Second,
Brevity shrugged,
weapons stopped being art. Fickle human progress.
Hero had grunted and bent to help with another barricade. They moved the damsels into position, loose groups of three that at least gave them a fighting chance. They readied a stockpile of weapons and projectiles, pilfered again from anything in the collection that was not nailed down, around the reinforcements. And they had waited. Tension strung through the library in different ways. A princess with cropped raven hair cried quietly, even while holding her sword up with a determined grip. The mull in the flapper dress had cracked jokes and produced a pack of smokes from nowhere. Not allowed. But Brevity hadn't had the heart to confiscate them. A severe non-binary mechanic with overalls and greased hair had surprised Brevity by moving quietly from group to group, shushing the teary and comforting nerves. Instead of feeling anxious, Brevity felt moved to help. Hero found her at the front barricade when he came to kick her out.
He needs you.
Hero emptied his hands of the last of the weapon supply. Brevity's eyes wordlessly drifted to the door as it shuddered again, and Hero fiercely shook her shoulder.
If Andrus wants to take the library, he'll need to confront and defeat the acting librarian, yes? That means you.
But...
She should have protested harder.
The best way you can defend the library is to not let Andrus's men get a hand on you.
Hero was firm.
They don't have the library if they don't have the librarian. I don't care how this fight goes. No matter what happens, don't let them see you.
That's not...
She liked to imagine she'd fought more than she had.
It's what Claire wanted.
Hero's jaw was hard. He winced, closed his eyes, and took a sharp breath to correct himself.
It's what Claire wants. You have to stay free long enough for her to get here, right? Or this is all lost.
And she'd agreed. Of course she had. She told herself the flighty, trembling feeling in her heart was nerves, not relief, as she retreated to the stacks behind the barricades. By the time the second ward fell, they'd thrown together what Brevity felt was a reasonable stand. Perhaps they wouldn't even need her. And then the final ward began to shudder. Hero had cast Brevity a grim glance full of warning before moving to his position at the front of the barricades. Brevity positioned herself adjacent to the damsels guarding the rear, at the entrance to the stacks. This group was composed of the youngest damsels, including Aurora. Unsteady, they looked to her. She sought for something encouraging to say, one last performative act of bravery. But the moment passed. The final ward fell. There was no fanfare, no horns. The final blood-black light above the desk merely died. The doors fell open and a moving shadow swept into the library. A legion of teeth and ambition. Brevity caught a glimpse of Andrus at the back, flanked by the largest of the eldritch horrors he called apprentices. There was no chance to surrender. Whatever had transpired above, Andrus evidently had no illusions about the library's agreeableness. He would accept nothing less than total submission. The damsels rushed to meet them. They came out swinging. Trained by unwritten war books, they spun and struck in precise, disciplined units. Brevity felt her heart swell as they engaged with Andrus's demons and horrors. It was a chance. They would take it. Brevity offered a coward's assistance. She had an advantage as a muse. She could fade step in the library, flickering from one shadow to another whenever a demon or terror drew too close. She retreated to the top of the library's great stacks and stood on top of the long rows of shelves, flinging whatever detritus she could at demonic heads. But it hurt every time she stepped back while damsels rushed forward and watched them fall on dark creatures their authors couldn't have dreamed of. Even in the dust-clogged corners of a library at war, Brevity could make out the shadow play of books as they died. It was the flare that got to her. The last furious struggle of purple, red, green, blue, white, before they finally dispersed like smoke. And each time she left another person, another unwritten person, her books, irreplaceable and in her charge, to fight in her place, she dug another grave in the back of her mind and put herself in it. Her only comfort was that she couldn't argue with Hero's tactics. They were pushing them back. They would win this. And then the worm appeared. Andrus's voice was a charged command in the air, and a wave of granite scale flowed in from the hall. It was not the largest of Hell's serpent servants, but it was large enough to create a solid wall as it slunk, lightning fast, around the back of the damsel's line, shattering barricades in its wake. Its body glinted with armored charcoal scales, and it opened a darting mouth to loose a spray of acid that destroyed an unwritten rug on contact. Brevity was frozen, hidden and too far away. She could only watch with her heart in her throat. The damsels, already engaged with Andrus's forces, had no way to retreat. The worm threaded through the library's defenders. It didn't even need to strike. It simply constricted, breaking the lines and driving the damsels on to waiting claws, teeth, and blades. It didn't take long for Andrus's monsters to find their weakness.
Their books?
The damsels who stayed to fight had chosen to carry their books. The damsel suite might have been safer, but with so much at stake, damsels were stronger staying closer to their books. It freed their movement, allowing them to strike and maneuver like dervishes, but it also left them vulnerable, carrying the means of their existence like hearts in their hands. Aurora had given Brevity a shy smile as she'd patted the breast pocket of her jacket earlier. Her pocket had shimmered a happy, vibrant teal. It made a perfect target for the claws of the horror that tore through her with less than a thought. Brevity saw her fall, saw the shock and terror and the fade from teal to gray to hollow air. She flickered just once, as if trying to return to her book, but her body flinched back into the ink-soaked carpet, corporeal and agonized. Brevity waited, like a coward in the shadows until the horror turned away to seek a new target. Brevity fade-stepped, flickering from one shadow to the next until she reached the girl's side. She was already fading, violet skin seeping to gray. Her body was drifting to paper and ash before her eyes. A book turned into a grave. Brevity instinctively reached out and tried to press a hand to the wound, but more of her disintegrated under her fingers. Brevity's hand came away black with ink and ash. She stared at her palm. Long after the small body had dusted away, long after it was safe, as the dying raged in her ears. And then it quieted, which was worse. She fled back through shadow, twisting through the stacks. Some of the great shelves had been brought down by the worm's thick body. Others lost their books and rocked worrisomely. But the library was vast, and there were many places for a coward, a failed muse, a failed librarian to hide. Brevity was about to move again when she heard a strangled cry, deeper than the damsel's, and angry.
Hero.
Brevity flew across the stacks, stepping out from the shadows as much as she dared. She peered over the edge just in time to see Andrus withdraw a short dagger from Hero's arm. Hero was flat on the ground near the wide double doors, a hand crushed under the clawed foot of one of Andrus's largest horrors. The worm had stopped seeking the remaining damsels and coiled in a circle around its master and his victim. More horrors drew closer, appearing from deeper in the stacks, sensing blood in the air, a decisive end. What that implied about the fates of the remaining damsels made Brevity's chest ache. Andrus twirled the dagger in an idle grip before flipping it in his palm and plunging the blade into the meaty part of Hero's thigh, pulling another scream from the unwritten man. Ink pooled from a handful of other similar wounds, and the whole right side of Hero's face was swollen underneath the black ink and ash. Hero tried to twist to his feet, kicking out hard with the injured leg, but the worm's coiled body left no room to maneuver. The horror standing over him shoved him down and redoubled his weight on his wrist. Andrus, evidently tiring of the show, waved him off and dragged Hero to his knees. He waited while the horrors bound him, tapping his fingers impatiently.
I've been fighting books, books, nothing but books since I got here. But not a librarian in sight. Someone's shirking their duties.
Andrus's voice echoed, silky and dangerous. The flat of the dagger tapped on Andrus's chin as he studied Hero's wounds like a painter would a canvas. His features, which Brevity had previously considered stern but fatherly, were now sharp, hungry.
Why don't you be a good book and tell me where your masters are? Where's Claire?
Hero's eyes were glazed with pain. He said nothing.
Come now, Hero, we drank together in Valhalla. I know the way you strain at your leash. I sympathize, even.
He petted Hero's bloodied cheek, dragging claw marks through the soot. Hero flinched.
so I know you wouldn't come back to this place on your own. If you're here, then she is too. Why suffer for those who keep you prisoner?
Andrus's second-in-command held up a square, ragged book. Brevity squinted until she recognized the two white pages. Hero's book. The horror shook it open and raked its claws over the front page, shredding it delicately. Hero's shoulders shuddered, but then an odd sound came. It was like a wet squelch, a broken cough, until it resolved into a laugh. Claws hesitated on the page.
"You'd be doing me a favor," Hero croaked.
His head lolled on his shoulders, eyes sliding around the ceiling until Brevity realized he was searching. They lit on the shadow where she hid, and a ragged smile forced its way onto his blackened lips.
"The librarians are weak, perfidious beasts. If you need them, then I wish you good hunting. They abandoned us." "I think not. Claire is my creation. I groomed her for many things, but I could always rely on her stubbornness."
Andrus tilted the point of the blade under Hero's chin.
"Ah. Or should I be looking for the muse? She'll be easier to break."
Hero closed his eyes. His head drooped.
"Go to hell."
Andrus made a disappointed cluck of his tongue.
"That's not much of a profanity here, you know. If you're not going to make yourself useful, I have no need for a broken book in a place full of them."
Andrus flicked the blade carelessly, opening another bloom of black ink on Hero's chest. Brevity was in shadow before she realized it. Then she was at the base of the stacks. The worm blocked her view. Damsels were dead, and it was in her way. She opened her mouth.
"Stop!"
Slowly, the worm's body shuddered into motion and pulled away to reveal Andrus. Brevity stepped forward. Her skin crawled as the monster shifted behind her, closing her path. Books lay torn everywhere, crushed under the worm's weight. Pages slipped beneath her heels. Wet clung to her cheeks. She crouched down to inspect Hero when she reached him. Up close, the ash-gouged wounds and pooling ink were even worse. Hero's lip was split and black with ink as he managed to open his good eye. His words stumbled through a broken mouth.
"We had a plan."
"I improvised."
Brevity had to whisper to keep her voice from cracking.
"I'm not strong enough to be a hero."
Hero's laugh was small, brittle.
"Me neither." "I am prepared to accept the library's surrender."
Andrus's cool voice intruded. Brevity drew her eyes from Hero. Andrus was smiling.
"I'll surrender, but the books stay. You have to promise no more books are destroyed."
Andrus's smile grew. Not pleased, amused.
"Is that all? The library is no good to me, burned. I'll spare your pets, for now."
A little of the sour tension leaked out of Brevity's shoulders, but then Andrus glanced again toward Hero.
"It would be unwise to leave insurrectionists at my back, however."
Andrus made a motion. The horror holding Hero's book moved before Brevity could react. Claws grasped a handful of pages and tore. Hero's whole body stiffened, and his eyes rolled back. He didn't scream, which worried Brevity even more. As if someone had cut his strings, he fell forward. Hero's colors had always been subdued, held close to his book. Simmering navy, the occasional gilded shadow of pewter and green. Hero, the character, had been colorful and bright enough for both. But Brevity felt it, like a shriveling under her hand when his colors began to fade. Brevity gripped him by the shoulders and could only watch as Andrus's horror grasped for another handful of pages as the scraps floated to the floor. The blizzard of pages drifted through the air, The last scrap of paper landed on the carpet. As if marking finality, it was accompanied by a deep, earth-shuddering boom. Then another, more out of place. Boom. The entrance to the wing flew open. The heavy oak doors rocked back on their hinges. As Andras's temporary ward dropped, electrified air swept through the space, carrying in with it the smoky residue of powerful magic and a crackle of lightning. A monstrous figure blocked the doorway, wings splayed, and the gargoyle let out a howl that came from every direction and multiple dimensions at once. The echo died a moment later, and smoke settled in tiny eddies around the feet of three figures. A gawky and thin teenage boy, a soldier holding a sword kissed with lightning, and a woman. Claire flicked a gaze of cold fury around the room before landing on Andras and his men. Get your hands off my book. 40. Claire. It's not just for the sake of the authors and the books that we keep the unwritten sleeping. Yes, we have to preserve the stories. And yes, the trauma an escaped book could do to an author is significant. But the whole situation is rotten for them, isn't it? Coddled away to sleep in some dusty realm. Might be the unwritten have an idea or two of their own on how their story should go. Might be they'd have reason to be angry. Pray they never wake up. Librarian Fleur Michel, 1798 CE. The stench of crackling leather and burned ink stole the breath from her lungs. Claire tried to breathe through her mouth until her tongue clotted with paper ash. The library's tall stacks slumped like defeated giants, ripped from their moorings and spilling their contents in a trail of paper and leather around the front lobby. Black blood and fading sheaves were the evidence of those crushed underfoot or eaten by the worm's acid. So many books damaged, so many stories lost. Claire's eyes were reserved for one book in particular. Soot and ink nearly completely covered Hero's skin, painting his bronze hair gray. He was barely conscious, but swollen and split lips twitched up as he tried to open his injured eye. The horror held a claw over Hero's pages, uncertain what to do now. Andras forgot his game entirely as his yellow eyes lingered over Claire, taking in her patches of blood, stopping at the amulets looped around her neck. For the time being, surprise and the dangerous sizzle of Rami's sword kept the horrors at bay. The gargoyle creaked at her back, wings flexing to create a protective shadow over their heads. It let out a low, warning rumble. Claire raised her hand, and it stilled. Andras's eyes narrowed.
It appears the hellhounds have not lived up to their reputation.
Can't blame them too much for their failings, Claire said. Demons are so unpredictable.
We share that with humans.
He opened his mouth as if to say something more. It would be just like him to have a dramatic speech, Claire thought. But he seemed to think better of it. His hand twitched, and the time to talk was over.
Kill them.
The horrors surged like the tide. Rami strode forward and met one group, gray feathered coat billowing as he buried his blade in the chest of the first demon that approached, then pulled it cleanly out to strike at another. The smell of ozone and storms and fury filled the air, and he moved like a powerful dervish. A building storm of lightning and force. Ramiel, the thunder of God. The gargoyle had swept aside the nearest horrors with one hand, and the worm surged and attacked. The serpent twisted and coiled around the bellowing creature. The worm was bigger, but the gargoyle's stone skin was slick, difficult to gain purchase on. They clashed in a titanic roil of scale and stone that knocked another shelf to the ground. Out of the corner of her eye, Claire saw Leto hunker behind a shelf near the door as he'd promised. Leto. Matthew Hadley. He might have been what, a nephew? Grandchild? Had it really been that long? The impossible thought had a stranglehold on her heart. In a whisper while they prepared in the hallway, Rami had told her what he knew and how he'd found Leto. It was too much for a coincidence. And too much to think of now. Claire ducked as a wing swept over her head, and she focused her attention on the demon at the eye of the storm. Andras took one look at the Titans clashing over their heads, cast a sour look at Brevity, then turned and ran. Claire cursed and rushed forward to where Brevity supported Hero. The horrors were beginning to move again.
Ardid, any time now?
A grackling cry built from the doorway. A conspiracy of ravens, all those freed from the arcane wing, and more, shrieked in and swept wide passes through the air, out of the reach of the demons. They dove in groups to rake sensitive tentacles and scalps of the horrors, claws coming away bloody. The flock swept around and hurtled themselves at the ground. Birds disappeared in a flurry of feathers, and came up leather-clad fighters, wielding thick swords and cruel sickles. Andras's horrors suddenly flanked, whirled, and lost formation. Arlid cast the nearest one a manic grin, and lopped its spiny head off. A shattering sound drew Claire's attention. Two ravens had cut off Andras at the entrance to the stacks. The demon held them at bay with his strange black dagger. Then he ripped a red-gemmed bauble from his coat and flung it against the nearest shelves. An unnatural fire bloomed where it shattered. Claire's heart stopped as the first books began to crackle. She staggered to her feet. Then another row of unwritten books smoldered and leather began to boil and pucker.
Brevity!
Panic made Claire's voice shrill and sour.
On it!
Brevity didn't bother with running. One moment she was behind her. The next, she emerged from a shadow near the flames. She ripped a light globe from the wall as she passed and bolted toward the fire, dodging horrors and ravens locked in combat. She twisted the globe sharply until it turned blue, and began spraying a fine jet of delicate glimmering foam at precise places on the shelves. The foam evaporated the moment it touched the books, taking the fire with it.
I've got this!
Claire turned back. Andras stepped over the burned bodies of the ravens. He tilted his head, as if acknowledging her, before disappearing into the stacks. She cursed and moved after him.
Claire.
The hoarse voice arrested her steps. Hero had propped himself up on the ground and made attempts to bunch his coat over the worst wounds. Black ink spread too fast between his fingers. His face was swollen and blackened on one side, but the undamaged part of his mouth curved into a familiar, bitter-edged smile. He shifted, grimacing as he did, and pushed his sword. It skittered across the floor to stop at Claire's feet. Claire took the weapon and found her heart in her throat, wondering how much pain he could survive without a book to repair back to. The question must have bled onto her face. Hero waved her on.
Go. End this.
Claire clutched the sword to her chest, turned, and ran into the stacks. The stacks had become narrow ravines of shadow. Between the fighting and the fire, the globes that had so reliably lit dark corners were gone. The deeper Claire went, the less the damage, these shelves being more removed from the initial battle. Only a few jostled books scattered the aisles. She could just see the retreating flutter of Andras's coat as it threatened to disappear at the far end of the aisle. He wanted her to follow him, would have some trap in mind. But Claire just wanted this over. Her knee protested as she ran, slowing her down. A wheeled ladder leaned against the shelves to the right, and she leapt, landing on it with her full weight to send the ladder flying. A few kicks picked up speed, and Claire could see the back of Andras's head clearly now. She was gaining on him. Then he disappeared around the corner at the end of the row. The ladder hit the end of the track, and a black blade swept out at chest level. Claire flung off the ladder, barely avoiding the wicked edge as it bit into the wood. She landed hard on her hip and slid across the polished floor. When she came up, Andras had his dagger free, but was still.
Whatever happened to I could never hurt you, pup?
Claire hissed. She slid Hero's sword from its sheath and held it out unsteadily. Her hands were trembling something awful.
She was a librarian. She knew next to nothing about swordplay or fighting.
She hadn't had the heart to tell Hero that. The corner of Andrus's lips twitched.
I said I could never kill you. I would never lie to you, pup. This?
The dagger swayed in his hand.
A single piece of soul stone. Didn't do much to Hero earlier, but the soul of the book isn't in the paper, is it? It's high time yours took a rest, Claire. You've earned it, though it needn't have been this way.
They were deep in the bowels of the stacks, and the sounds of fighting were muted. The smoke had disappeared. Hopefully that meant Brevity had the fire damage under control. Claire edged around the demon.
Rubbish! You planned all this. I know what you did to Leto.
Matthew. Claire cradled his real name in her chest, pressed under her heart. She wouldn't forget it. She'd forgotten many things, but she would not forget Leto. Andrus tilted his head. He backed up a step and Claire followed, not willing to let him run again.
Finally put that together, did you?
Frankly, I'd hoped you two would have that reunion sooner.
You always were adopting strays, pup. I gave you a real one.
You killed him, and you think I should be grateful?
Incredulity gave way to fury. Andrus raised his blade in warning.
The boy killed himself. I just greased the rails as a gift to you. I hoped having him around would make you happy, soften you, make you more open to new opportunities. I needed you. I knew the Codex was out there, but that damned city was warded. I needed a tracker, and a stubborn one. We could have worked together.
Claire's lip curled, though the disgust felt reserved for herself. So many deaths at her feet. Leto, the damsels and demons. Beatrice? No. Claire shook her head. How in the world did I ever consider you a friend? Andrus sounded sad.
You used me just as much. It's what friends do.
Andrus hadn't moved. He wasn't retreating, but he wasn't pressing his obvious advantage either. Claire frowned, risking a glance from him to the shelves and back. He traced her suspicion, and his smile grew. He rested a possessive hand on a shelf.
Since we're in the business of reunions today.
Claire narrowed her eyes. Then ice raced down her spine. The name was stamped in small gilded letters on the spines of the books under his fingers. Claire Juniper Hadley. Her books. She hadn't realized they were so deep in the library. Her books were not part of the main collection. After what had happened with Beatrice, she'd gathered up all the unwritten books bearing her name and archived them in the most obscure corner of the library, tucked them between books whose authors had died thousands of years ago. She'd told herself it wasn't for herself, but for the books. Beyond her temptation, surrounded by ancient and satisfactorily sleeping books. She allowed herself to pretend it was merely a side benefit that she never had to be reminded of her past failures. Even now, the temptation was still there. Her hands itched, ached to reach out to touch, to thumb over the pages. She might have forgotten so much of her past life, but her stories, the stories never faded. Unspent words stayed like ink in the blood. She felt cold and hot at once, hollow with the ghosts she carried. Andrus watched her reaction with growing pity.
I always do my research. It took some time for my men to find where you'd tucked them. I thought I taught you better, Claire. The first rule of the game is a simple one. Never keep a secret that can be used against you.
Claire's mouth felt dry. She dragged her eyes away from the shelves.
Funny words for a creature that does nothing but lie.
Two different beasts. Deception and secrets. Deceptions are when you lie to others. Secrets are when you lie to yourself.
Andrus made an impatient motion, waving his blade over the shelves.
We could debate virtues all day, but I know you, pup. Shame to let such an impressive collection of books go to waste.
The blade spun in his hand, and the black tip brushed against a green-bound book. It left a smear of ink. Hero's blood. It gleamed wet for a moment before the ink ignited. Claire flinched and bit back a cry as black flames flared and the book fell to ash.
Step down, librarian, Andrus said.
There was a nib of leather in the ashes, a fleck of gold. Claire tried to turn away, but her gaze locked on a scrap of shadow drifting from the shelf. It was a portion of paper, entirely turned to ash but held together for a breath of a moment as if it hadn't forgotten how to be a page. Darker striations of ash marched across the middle. The ink. She could almost make out a snippet of a paragraph, and the laconic, cold voice of the historian told her, from the back of her mind, that she would be the last soul to read these words. A sob hiccuped in her throat, and the puff of air was enough. The ash page dissolved between her outstretched fingers. The destruction of a book was a shame, but the grief that suffocated her all at once wasn't for a book. It was for people, like Hero, like Beatrice. God, she'd been every kind of fool. Her voice felt ash-choked. I buried them because I wanted to forget them. Why would I care what you do?
I don't think that's true.
Andrus turned a prospective gaze over Claire's collection.
Which book do you think that was now? A random adventure? A romance? Your one moment of genius? I've already met your idea of a hero, quite crude, by the way. So terse, so unlikable. Better that woman never got written. But I'm sure in one of these you dreamed up your ideal love, too. Do you think you memorialized your beloved family somewhere, since you couldn't be bothered to remember yourself? Is there a story there for your daughter? Perhaps this one.
At a word, another book folded into char and soot.
Just as well, Andrus tutted. They obviously didn't try to remember you.
It wasn't her forgotten daughter he was destroying, and Andrus knew it. Her daughter was a human who had lived and grown old. Andrus was killing the lives trapped between pages here. Innocent lives. Lives that relied on the library for protection.
You can't win, Andrus.
Claire's voice trembled. She breathed through her nose and it felt like screaming.
Oh?
The blade paused in Andrus's hand. He tapped his bottom lip.
Do you think you'll just wish me away like you did Gregor? I'm a demon. Hell is my very nature. Your words won't work on me.
I won't need them to stop you,
Claire swallowed. The fear stuck beneath her collarbone.
Your horrors will be eliminated by Arlid's ravens. I've turned your own wings collection against you. Lucifer is never going to grant you your title again after such a defeat. What can you hope to gain with this? You're never a sadist without reason.
Call it a morbid curiosity to see just how much of your past you'll ascribe to the fire. That's what I liked best about you, Claire. You were so selfish. So human.
Andrus's gold gaze was bright as a coin and twice as greedy. But it wasn't cold. It simmered with regret, which was worse. Claire caught the moment when he steeled himself for an act.
Did you ever wonder why I call you Pup?
I assumed fatherly affection, but that's obviously wrong.
When I found you, you were a whining puppy, broken, grieving your silly books, like a kicked dog, would have rolled over and played dead for anyone. I took you in. I kept you safe.
His words curled, tipping over into a snarl.
You owe your station to me. You owe me this. I know you kept the scrap. Smart girl, but you burned that up getting in here, didn't you? I admit I had to do a bit of the same. Tragedy, but I...
He patted one pocket.
I had just enough to spare. With the unwritten wing in hand, I can trade the rest of these for enough power to challenge Lucifer himself, if I so desire.
You can burn the library, but you won't possess it, Claire said, and she blinked, realizing the truth of it. It gave her the strength to raise her chin. Brevity and I will resist you with everything.
And that's why I have this.
Andrus flipped the blade over in his hands. Claire realized the black surface gleamed not like metal, but like polished crystal.
Goodbye, pup.
The blade moved at her, fast and glinting like a minnow in water. Claire threw the sword in front of her as she stumbled back, using it more as a shield than a riposte. Andrus flicked his wrist and turned the movement against her. The sword wrenched out of her hands and flew down the aisle. Andrus stopped, sighing as she clutched her bruised wrist.
This just isn't fair. I knew I should have taught you swordplay.
He moved again, taking advantage of her reaction to kick her solidly in the gut. Claire crumpled to the floor, breath seizing in her lungs. She felt Andrus stop behind her, a cold shadow. He was toying with her. Andrus would win any fight, fair or otherwise. Claire understood it then. She stayed on her knees.
Hear me,
Claire whispered, words lost to the floorboards.
Hear me, please. I have done my best, but we need you now. If you ever had power, if you ever cared about this place and those in it, please, I need you now.
Andrus heaved a long sigh. A toe nudged her spine.
Praying? I'm disappointed in you. Even if Lucifer was the worshipping type, he's abandoned you. I thought you were better than cheap begging.
Please,
Claire breathed. She leaned against a shelf of books. The leather was cool against her cheek. Nothing stirred beneath it. She squeezed her eyes shut with effort.
This isn't how the story ends. Not yours.
Hers, perhaps. But hers wasn't the only story inked in the bones of hell. The whispers, when they came, were nothing more than a soft hush of wind. Claire opened her eyes and turned. Andrus still held a disappointed frown, dagger out, as if he was waiting for his fancy to take him. His gaze stumbled, catching on something just over Claire's shoulder. She held very still. She felt the figures at her back, dozens of them. No, not dozens. Hundreds. And she knew the books were awake. Books woken up after a long, very long sleep. Heroes and villains and damsels and knights, monsters and rogues and saints and madmen. Books and stories and characters and conflicts from ages long past. Furies and passions honed over an eon to a killing edge. Aliens and monsters and queens and mercenaries and children. They crowded the hall behind her and clung to shelves. Those with wings and tails crowded overhead. Dozens, hundreds, more. The weight of the wakened library balanced, heavy and infinite, in the air. They didn't bother with the niceties of dimensional physics. Out of the corner of her eye, feet flickered against the floorboards. Boots turned to hooves, turned to heels, turned to soft shadow. The only thing constant was the weight of a million gazes on her back. The pressure was like a great wave, obliterating and terrible. And when it turned its gaze on Andrus, a tremor shook through the demon's shoulders. His hand fell to his side, and Andrus began to back up. Claire felt the pull of the tide of old stories, hungry ghosts, and dug her knuckles into the floor. It was all she could do not to lose herself with it. Andrus's voice was haughty, but unsteady.
I'm the Arcanist, Grand Duke of Hell, you can't!
We can.
The words came to Claire's lips, like grave dust.
We are the dreams that did not die with the dreamer. We care nothing for the dark.
Nonsense! I'm a demon. I can offer you freedom, escape, power beyond imagination.
We are imagination.
Air rushed out of the aisle, sucking Claire's breath with it. When she felt the first figure pass her, like a trace of frost over her skin, the prudent thing would have been to close her eyes. There were things human minds weren't meant to comprehend, and Claire felt her own mind pressed, spread too thin. But she'd called this. She'd asked, and the library had answered. She'd woken them up, all of them. She ground her hands against the wood until her nails splintered, and she looked up. Andrus backed into a wall, shoulders hunched with his dagger out. Not in a proficient pose like before, but sweeping, searching for a target. Figures coalesced in the air between them, like a mist swirling on a current. His blade passed through the chest of the nearest figure. It parted like water, and then, instead of disintegrating, the figure solidified and power spread like a ripple. Andrus's eyes were gold and black cat eyes, all human traces gone when they found hers and caught.
You're not a murderer, pup.
Have mercy.
You know me, we could have.
A dark-skinned woman, ageless and terrifying as the dawn, appeared out of the shadows at Andrus's back. A rush of power and a spike of light forced Claire to squeeze her eyes shut. When she opened them, empty air hung where Andrus had stood. The dagger clattered to the hardwood, loud as Claire's pulse. It was no longer black, but as silver as Andrus's hair, with a tiger stripe of faintly glowing amber. Claire took an unsteady breath, realizing too late that the ghost woman's attention was now on her. Her starless black eyes gained weight, as if feeding from the judgment. Claire tried, with the parts of her mind that weren't screaming, to identify her. The woman didn't seem like one of Claire's own characters, or any damsel that had appeared in the past. This wasn't a character that had ever woken up under Claire's care. Perhaps had never woken up. This was a character from an old book, breathtakingly old. A book conceived when characters such as this were not women, but forces, faces of the gods. That gaze held Claire immobile and pressed down like stone. It saw every fleck of ash on her cheeks, the smoke heavy in her hair, every callous disregard she'd ever had. It saw the ink that stained her fingers time and time again, and measured her life in cruelties. Somewhere distant, she could hear Brevity's high voice calling her name. They were looking for her now. But the library had already found her. The library would not bring the others here until it was done with her. Andrus had been asking the wrong person for mercy. The mercies of the library were dust and silence. She was caught in a sea of ghosts, a trap with jaws of ink and bone. The pulse of dreams beat at her skin, pressing in, and hundreds of hungering eyes palmed at her soul, tasting, testing, finding it wanting. The accusation was there. The accusation and weight of every book that had burned today. Claire distantly wondered which faces in the crowd were of her creation. All seemed equally judging, but that was familiar. The woman in front drew toward her. Claire felt locked in place, but dragged a word from her throat.
Wait.
It was only a shred of a whisper, but the specter paused. Claire swallowed and tasted iron.
You have a right to be angry. Give me a chance to fix it.
She distantly heard Brevity's voice again.
We can fix this. I might have failed you, each of you, but the library wasn't abandoned today. You had no shortage of champions. You are the library. We are the librarians. Let us serve.
Stories end. The words nearly split Claire's skull. She winced. The woman at the fore drifted toward her, hair suddenly white, fire instead of shadow.
Yes, and that's my fault. Only mine.
Claire struggled to breathe.
Please, I'll accept what I must do to make amends.
The woman was as still as a statue, and she considered.